Welcome to But Jesus Drank Wine
and Other Stories That Kept Us Stuck. I'm Mead.
And I'm Christy.
And in this podcast, we'll explore the stories that kept us, well, stuck, wanting to drink and not wanting to drink all at the same time.
Join us as we show you that freedom from alcohol does not have to mean a life sentence of misery and missing out,
but actually means living an authentic life full of peace, joy, and purpose.
Hey, babe.
Hi.
I'm excited for today, though, because these are like my favorite ones to record.
This is so fun. I'm so glad that we are circling back to this. We love our guests and we've had so much fun recording with people, but there's ain't no party like the 10 things I whatever party on the But Jesus Drank Wine podcast, right? Am I right?
Yeah. So we were doing our masterclass last week with Pastor David, and he was like, oh, my favorite episodes are the ones where you guys just do the 10 things and compare your lists. So I thought it could be fun today to do 10 things I wish someone had told me in the first year of living alcohol free. And so as these past episodes have gone, we have made our separate lists and we are going to compare them live on air.
Live here for our readers for the very first time.
For our readers. You send it in your mail. Okay, you go first.
Oh, no. You always make me go first. You always let me go first. I would like to have you kick us off today.
Oh, okay. Well, this is the thing. I don't really know how about...
She doesn't have a list, y'all. I'm just kidding.
I do have a list. I just don't know about the order of the list. And I didn't really put it in any particular... significant order. So I'm just going to read them as they came to me. Okay.
All right. Yes. I have the same list. I'm like, it's not an order of importance or significance. It's literally just how my brain spat them out.
Okay. The first one is that I wish someone had told me that the friendship shuffle will be hard, but will end up being the biggest blessing.
Wow. The friendship shuffle. That's a
friendship shuffle. Because that was one of the things
such
that
a good one. Like,
I was so worried about that. I was so worried about like who was going to stick around, who was still going to be my friend, who I might never see again. Like, was I going to be left standing alone, you know? And I did. I had that one girlfriend who's like one of my closest friends who said, you're going to need a whole new like set of friends if you decide to like do this. And I'm happy to report that she was wrong, but she was also kind of right. Right? Uh-huh. There's definitely some friendships that have changed. Yeah, it's the friendship shuffle.
Did you have that one? I love it. Well, yes.
Did you have that one on your list? How did you word it?
I worded it that I wish someone had told me that your relationships will change 100% without a shadow of a doubt will change, but all for the better, ultimately. And so going along with the friendship shuffle, which is just, I just love it.
I feel like it should be a dance.
Yeah, totally. Like, I don't know why I just have this, like, I just want to throw a hashtag in front of it because why not? Like, and, yes, you know, like, hashtag, because that's what I do. You can't see that if you're listening, but I'm throwing my hashtag, my air quotes and my hashtag, the hashtag friendship shuffle. My biggest fear in stepping into that place and getting curious about my relationship to alcohol was, which I find kind of funny because I'm like, my relationship with alcohol, and the biggest fear was how that would change my relationships with people if I actually dared look at my relationship to alcohol. Because it was that, like, I didn't exist in any circles where alcohol wasn't a part of what we did together. And I wasn't a part of social events or occasions or outings or vacations or, I mean, really. And all of those things involve other people and relationships I have. And so my biggest fear was how that would change. And I wish that someone had told me that, because I feel like this is something that we do talk about a lot. And I've in all my coaching groups over the last 4 years. And I mean, this is something that just keeps coming up over and over again. It's the thing that I want to like shout the loudest to people is like, if that is something you're afraid of, I promise you there will be maybe some growing pains along the way, but it will be for the better. And you won't lose every single friend you've ever had or known because of it. And so, yeah, let the friendship shuffle work itself out, embrace the friendship shuffle
and see what comes on the other side of that, because it's,
there's not, and in fact, I'm taking it, Christy, all the way to like, I'm thinking of every single person I've coached and interacted with. I mean, thousands of people. Not one person has ever said my relationships, my most important relationships got worse as a result of finding freedom from alcohol. Not one single person. What about you?
Yeah, and I'm so glad that you said that, because this is the one, I mean, there's others too, but this is one of the ones where if I was walking or driving my car listening to us, not knowing us, I would be thinking to myself, yeah, but they don't know my friends.
And yes,
they don't know my circle, and they don't know how I roll, and they don't know how much drinking is entrenched in my like girlfriend time and all this stuff. And so I wouldn't have believed me either.
Yeah.
But the point is that I wish that I had a friend who had walked this journey road.
Adventure path.
Journey road. I wish I had someone like a girlfriend who had been there and done this and like actually could tell me from experience these things, right? Which is the point of the episode. But I don't know if I would have believed me.
I definitely wouldn't have believed me, for sure, because it wouldn't have made sense to my rational mind that that could still be a good thing. But also, when I was stuck in the drinking cycle, I was living from a very small place. So I didn't have an ability to kind of even challenge some of that thinking. So yeah, leads to a nice little segue here into things will be easier and harder in that first year, like in different ways. So like easier, no more FOMO, no more hangovers, no more mental gymnastics around when am I going to drink, how am I going to drink, the planning, the prepping, the all of that mental real estate we always talk about. None of that is there. So way easier, which leads to another point that we'll get to in a minute, but the benefit being like more presence, more intentionality, more just like fully like participating in life. But also like that stuff is hard. So it's like you're trading the cheap easy for harder things, but the harder things when you're free from alcohol actually lead to more fruit and lead to growth and lead to better things. Whereas the hard things when you're stuck in the drinking cycle just lead to more hard and more stuck. So it's a trade-off. Things are easier and harder both ways. It's just a question of which easy and which hard leads to the life that you envision, you know, for yourself.
Yeah, that's so good. So this is one that I really wish someone would have told me. I wish that someone had told me that the things that you're most worried about average about 15 or 20 minutes. And so this includes cravings, the awkward part at the dinner party where you ask for a glass of sparkling water or a Diet Coke instead of the champagne, like all of these things that we freak out about and future trip about and spend so much mental spiraling over are literally a 15 minute, maybe 20 minute deal, you guys. Like, honestly. And I had a gal in one of my groups who I was coaching her via WhatsApp around a craving. And the next call we had gotten on, I said, how long did it feel like that craving was going on? Like, we were texting. She was literally staring at the wine bottle. It was Friday night. She was like, I'm lonely, la, la, la. And she got through it. I was like, how long did that feel like? And she was like, it literally felt like forever. And I was like, how long was it actually? And we had it timestamped, right? Because we were texting. And she was like, it was 15 minutes. It was 15 minutes.
So good. Yes.
And so everything is temporary. Everything is temporary. And it doesn't feel like it. The craving feels like it might kill you. It won't. The thoughts of other people and you never have to explain yourself, but the, you know, responding to people when they ask you why you're not drinking, like all that stuff feels like it's going to last forever and potentially crush you and kill you, but it doesn't.
Yeah.
15 or 20 minutes and you can do it.
Yeah. That's such a good point. Yeah. Having that timestamp, because when you're in it, it does feel like it's never going to end. And it feels like this, you're just like stuck there forever, but it's that trade-off of the temporary discomfort for that long-term rewiring a new neural pathway that says that like, we don't have to do this. The more that we can like practice that little bit of like, okay, this first craving was X amount hard, the second craving is going to be even less hard and less hard. Even if it seems very like minor, like a minor difference in between each of them, they're getting less and less hard the more you do them. And so even having just that, like, it's mindset going into it. Like, this is maybe not going to be great, but it will pass. And then tomorrow it's going to be slightly easier. I'm going to keep practicing that until you get to the point where you're just like, wait, like, this isn't hard at all. And I have no desire for this. So that's so good.
What's next on your list?
So I was watching Tangled with my girls the other day, and I was thinking about Rapunzel when she leaves the tower and she like goes to put her feet down in the grass for the first time. And she's like, what is this? And she's like running around and smelling the air and the blue sky and the grass. And then she's also kind of like panicking, like, oh, what am I doing? What am I doing? Because the world is so different. It's so new. But she's also like, this is amazing. She's out of her tower. She was imprisoned in this tower and she has no idea what this world out there looks like. And she's experiencing it. That's to me what that first year feels like, where I'm like, oh my gosh, like touching the grass with my bare feet. I mean, literally and metaphorically, like, because your senses come to life when you're not stuck in that drinking cycle, again, with the mental real estate and distraction of like all the things that go into that, plus the time occupied. Everything comes to life in a new way, like a Technicolor world, like when Dorothy goes from black and white to color in The Wizard of Oz. And it's amazing. Yeah, like you have this appreciation for like sunsets and sunrises and nature. That is the kind of stuff that like, and I can hear myself saying these things and also be sitting in the seat of the person who's listening to this going, oh my gosh, that's so lame. If I had heard that, I would have been like, that's lame, number one. And number two, like, I don't really know what you're talking about. So I hear that too, but like pull up the clip of little Rapunzel putting her feet down in the grass for the first time. It is, food tastes different. Music sounds different.
It's true.
Everything is different in a beautiful, full sensory kind of way. And I wouldn't trade that for the world.
Yeah, it's so true. Do you have any like one-liners from that movie that you say all the time? Because the one in the house that we always use from that movie is all the things we've seen and done, and it's only 8 a.m.
Oh, shit.
When we're like up and having to do something early in the morning, or the kids have like a sporting event, or we have to be at the airport, or like we say that one all the time in this family. I just don't know if you had blow one-liners from that movie. I love that movie.
I do love that one. I guess the one that we quote the most or at all is I love you more, I love you most. And then we say not possible and God loves you most of all. We add our own little like spin on that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we do love that movie.
Yeah, it's a good one.
It's a good one. My favorite. I had written down too, like the head massage when you're getting your hair shampooed, when you're getting your hair done. Like, amazing. Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. I used to love that when I was hungover though too.
I think when I was stuck in the drinking cycle, it was like, I got to get this done and I got to get out of here. And I'm already like, my mind's already moved on to like all the other things I have to hustle and do. And so I never like fully appreciated it. But maybe I just didn't have one when I was hungover. That would have been, that might have been a game changer. Okay, carry on. Move on.
The people, I wish someone had told me that the people that look like they can moderate might be struggling too. I wrote that one down because I was very much fixated on the people that I thought were able to like somehow outsmart alcohol and like win this like battle. And I have since gone back and like asked those people, and obviously we will never, ever, ever know what is in anybody's heads. But I have deduced from my research that the people that are like look like they're not struggling aren't struggling because they never had a relationship with alcohol like I did, but also they also might be struggling and just being really good at making it all look pretty and shiny, which I was good at too, which is why when I stopped drinking, there were a lot of people that were confused because they were like, wait, what? You had a problem? Don't compare yourself to others, you guys. Like, don't, because it's just like we'll never know what's in their head. You'll never know if they're really struggling. The mental real estate piece of all of this is real. And feeling the difference between having alcohol hijack your thoughts all the time and having be clear-headed is something that the people that might have even, you know, somewhat of a tricky relationship with alcohol, like that's something that they can experience as well. So you just don't know. You don't know the level of struggling is the point.
Yeah, that's so good. And it makes me think too of like how when I wanted to moderate, it's because I believed that alcohol was way more important and was necessary in a sense to my life. It took up more space in its importance and significance in my life. So the thought of not drinking it ever again was not something I could entertain. And so like if you're wanting to moderate, it's because you still believe that alcohol has, like, it is really super benefiting you in some way, shape, or form. And that's where, like, now being on this side, you know, almost 5 years out, I'm like, but I like, moderation is not, you can find freedom from even wanting to moderate when you take a look at, like, all of the reasons you think that alcohol benefits you, which is this work that we always talk about here is like, how many jobs have you given alcohol? And like, does it really serve those jobs? Does it really do those jobs? Or do you need to fire your alcohol employees and say, you're not doing the job?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just going to throw this one on here because it's basically what you just said is, I wish someone would have told me that one day you will not have the desire to drink.
Yes.
Yeah. Because of all the reasons you just said.
Yeah. I mean, that's what's still so, I mean, I still am baffled by that.
You just got really Southern right there, Michael.
Who liked it? Is when I start going on a like tangent here. I'm still baffled by that. I absolutely am. Like that there could be a space where you change your desire for it. It no longer takes up space and it's unbelievable. Again, so maybe we should like label this episode things that our readers are listening to that they will never believe unless they're listening to it.
For themselves.
Yeah, totally. That's so good.
Responding to the heartfelt requests from you, our wonderful, wonderful listeners, for a deeper sense of community, we are so excited to introduce y'all to the But Jesus Drink Wine community.
Get ready to be part of an exclusive experience where you'll join a sisterhood of kindred spirits on a transformative journey of faith, sobriety, and personal growth.
You'll gain access to our private community, a place where deep connections can flourish among women who share your aspirations of strengthening faith in Christ and breaking free from alcohol.
But wait, there's more! We'll host regular connection calls to facilitate fellowship with like-minded gals. No matter where you stand on your alcohol or faith journey, whether you're seasoned or just curious, you are very warmly welcomed here.
Prepare to be inspired by guest expert sessions and engaging Q&As that explore the essential topics for your sobriety, faith, and holistic wellness journey.
Don't miss out on securing your spot. Click the link in the show notes to learn more.
We can't wait to see your beautiful face in the But Jesus Drank Wine community.
Now, I have this one too, like, and this is, we're walking into controversial territory here. No, I'm just kidding. I'm totally kidding.
Oh, no. I'm totally kidding.
You will feel more. So like kind of along the same lines as like things, you know, we talked about like both sensory, like technicolor world. You will feel more, meaning you will actually feel your emotions. And that is something that we get to do as a result of like, and this is another point of mine too. One of on my list was like, you will feel more alive than you've ever felt, especially if you're in that place of not white knuckling, trying to never drink again, but in that place of having changed your desire for alcohol, therefore it is effortless to not drink it. If you're in that place, freedom from alcohol space, you will feel and you will survive feeling. And it kind of goes back to that things will be easier and harder. Like in a way it is, you're moving into harder stuff because you're actually having to feel everything and you're having, that's what we get to do as a result of this. But it also means like you feel the immense like organic raw joy that comes from the simple things, the sunsets. I mean, just the silly thing.
Doing your sunsets today.
I know. I'm on a sunset kick here. But yeah, it's like we get to feel these things and we have capacity for feeling those things. How often did I just hit that easy button of like,
yeah,
I didn't even have awareness. I love having clients start like by paying attention to how many times a day they feel uncomfortable. Just like when we very first like start out, I just want you to just pay attention to how many times a day you go from being like okay to feeling that you're like slightly just uncomfortable all of a sudden. Just, you know, tally that up and see. Because when I was stuck in the drinking cycle, I had no awareness for the fact that I was uncomfortable at times And when you then anesthetize it with alcohol, you don't have to be rock bottom drinking, numbing, blacking out to not feel. Alcohol numbs your senses. So you're not aware of what's happening. You're not aware of those sensations. And so one of the things that I love and I wish someone had told me and also like stood right next to me to walk me through it, which I've been grateful that I've had people that have done that, is like walking through feeling what you feel. And the capacity for that is so great. And it's a game changer.
I love that. So good, babe. So good. So true. So good. So true.
Because, okay, let me just finish.
She's literally wagging her finger at me, you guys.
Wagging the finger. I'm getting going here. Because if we don't, all of that stuff is like all of the things that we are feeling, like disappointments, the hard stuff, simple disappointment, big disappointments, all of that stuff. It's like we're just, if we're not feeling it, if we're not dealing with it, if we're not making space for it, it's going to come out like that Instapot that you know, if you don't naturally release the pressure, it's going to explode, which is me and the low grade irritability that I experienced when I was, you know, thinking at my family all the time. And I mean, not all the time, but a lot of the time. And it's equivalent to like pushing that. You're always just trying to push this beach ball underwater, like just trying to push it down. And the energy that is burned trying to constantly push this beach ball underwater, meaning the emotion that you have, like trying not to feel those, eventually you are going to just like explode or burst, and it's going to be in a not good way. And also that energy was like designed to be used for better things, just saying. So,
yeah. The next one on my list is, I wish someone had told me that kids notice everything, which like, I know that is a very like throwaway comment that everybody says, but the reason that I wrote it is that like kids notice everything. Like they notice everything in the drinking days, but they also noticed everything about me in the early days of the struggle and then, you know, finding freedom from alcohol and starting this business and all of the good stuff. It's a spider.
Oh my gosh.
Sorry. Oh my gosh. Okay. Did I tell you that one time I was coaching and a bird flew in here? Yeah. Honestly, I didn't know what to do. So I just started screaming and my poor client was like,
Oh my gosh. Wow.
It just flew out the window. Okay. But kids notice everything.
And we notice everything. When we're freed from alcohol, we notice everything. Like the spider that's crawling down the wall. You would not have seen that if you were stuck in the drinking cycle. And that's not a good thing because you want to get rid of that spider so it doesn't end up somewhere else.
But yeah. And so, I mean, this was such a great opportunity. It still is, right? Like for whatever we're going through, to just teach them that like we can do hard things, that you don't need alcohol to have fun, like all of these lessons. And I didn't think about that in the first year when I was just like, you know, trying to like make it through and figure out like this alcohol thing. And could I be a sober person? I didn't think about any of that, but like they saw it, you know? And so I know that like there's such shame wrapped up in like our kids seeing us in like our drinking days when like the wheels were off, but there's such, I don't know what the word is, like,
opportunity.
Thank you. Like there's such opportunity in showing them like what this looks like when you walk this path / journey / road.
For sure. And there's so many different angles we could go with this because it is one of those where just even talking about it, there were so many times that I didn't want to believe that they were picking up on when I was stuck in the drinking cycle and I was drinking more than I wanted to be drinking or acting a little bit differently, even if not like full out. I mean, this is what I keep coming back to too. Like, and they'll say this, that like, they don't really remember, but it doesn't mean they weren't picking up on how different I was they can tell you the benefits now of like how more available I am and happier and all of those things. But they do notice everything, and the opportunity that comes from vulnerably sharing and for them seeing that like we're not perfect and we're, you know, chalk this up to like something we got wrong, right? Like the fact that alcohol took up so much space in our lives and and we were doing things one way and now we're doing things differently. We got that wrong before and it's okay. And look what it is, that opportunity for connection, because it includes being real and it includes being vulnerable appropriately with them. Right. And I think that that's one of my favorite things of being in the space of free from alcohol is the experiences that I get to have, the conversations that I get to have with them. However hard, talking about real things like numbing out and alcohol and like whatever, but it's connecting. And to your point, it allows them to kind of see for themselves that like, oh, okay. Like I could do, you know, if I ever end up struggling with something, like my mom knows what to do. And also she's done it herself. Like there is a lot of beauty in that.
What's next on your list?
So good. Another part here was, because they were all kind of like, I had a hard time like kind of putting them itemized because they all go together, right? But this would have been something that I've been like, okay, I can kind of see it. But anyway, you will have more time and space.
Yeah. Like
finding freedom from alcohol, y'all, is the hack for creating more than 24 hours in your day. I mean, not really. You're not really getting more than 24 hours. Obviously, that's not what I mean. But what I mean is you are freeing up so much space. It's a hack. We're all looking for hacks. How do we get more time? How are we more, you know,
productive?
Productive. All of those things. Finding freedom from alcohol is that hack, because all of a sudden you have freed up mental space. You have freed up physical space. You have freed up space. You have time. And that is something that I never saw coming. And again, if someone had told me, I wish I had known so I could have started to like pay attention to that. Like, is it really true? How much space and time is alcohol occupying for me now when I'm stuck in the drinking cycle? And I would have that imagination to kind of like start seeing like, maybe is it possible? Because I'm not, when we talk in this space, we're not talking again, like we're talking about gray area drinking. We're not talking rock bottom. We know that things will be, if you're rock bottom, you know things will get better without alcohol. But we're talking about our lives that weren't hugely, hugely impacted on an outward, you know, level by our drinking. So it's hard to believe that more time and space could come and then that would be a good thing and that thing could be better. So yeah, it's the creation of more time and space. Like I had no idea that this would be how I'm using my time and space as a podcast host, as a, you know, community leader for, you know, But Jesus Drank Wine, as a, like, I had no idea that this was time and space that was being occupied by something like alcohol that was meant for something else.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with all of that. And it goes to one of the ones that I had on my list was, it might feel like your world is going to get smaller, but it's actually going to get a lot bigger. So along the exact same lines, like I thought it was going to lose all my friends. I thought I was going to have no fun. I thought I was going to like live in a box and never see anybody and be boring and all of these things. And nothing could have been further from the truth. And I don't think that if I was listening to this in 2019, I would never have listened to a podcast called But Jesus Drank Wine in 2019. But if I had heard someone say that, I would have been like, yeah, right. You are full of baloney. But it's true. It is true. My life has gotten so much bigger. I've been able to talk and meet and coach women from like all over the world. And it's just so exciting. And that's not even if you become a coach, it's anything, right? Because even like I was thinking of like going to a Pilates class, right? If I'm hungover, I'm either not making it to Pilates class or I'm just literally trying to get it through to survive, right? Not like talking to the women next to me and meeting them and having a chat and making new friends and all of the things, right? It makes your world so much bigger because of all the time and space, as you said.
Yeah, all that time and space is freed up. And it goes to that like fear. You highlighted this. It's like that fear of like, my life will be boring. I will be boring. Boring, boring, boring. And it could not be further from the truth, because who knew? And this is the thing too, that I would say, like, I never could have imagined that this life right now that I have and all of these amazing things that I feel like the Lord just keeps like pointing me over here, like, now go do this, now go do that. These things that I get to be a part of, I never could have imagined that when I was stuck in the drinking cycle at the time, that was occupying, was keeping me from things like this. And that fits with another one on my list where you will feel alive in a way that you didn't even know that you weren't.
When you're watching the sunset.
Yes, yes, exactly. When you're touching the grass with your bare feet.
Oh, you were going to do another sunset.
I know. I could. But we still have time. I will hit that sunset again. But it's so true because, I mean, in a way that like, it's like I can think back to my stuck in the drinking cycle, similar to how when we lived in town. We lived in town and life was great. Life was good. Like everything was fine. Then we finally made this move out, you know, further out, had wanted space and land and whatever. And I just was kicking and screaming. Like I had all these fears about what life would be like in this new town, this new space, this new world that was so different than where I was. And everything was okay where it was. It wasn't bad. And then we get out here and I'm like, wow, I didn't even know that any of this was possible. And that's how I liken it to being stuck in the drinking cycle. It's like, while I could have kept going in that way because I wasn't a rock bottom drinker, it wasn't interfering in these like big drastic, you know, ways in my life, it was taking up a lot of time and space. And in that, I had to just kind of like put my head down and grind and hustle and do all the things on autopilot and get through. Whereas now I just feel so much more alive. It's crazy.
So good.
With my sunsets.
With your sunsets and your green grass. The hardest parts of, the hardest parts of my life will end up being the most powerful parts of my testimony. And I wish that I knew that.
Boom. Say that again.
The hardest parts of my life will end up being the most powerful parts of my testimony. And I wish, again, it's like one of those things where, again, I would not have believed it, but the hardest parts of doing this work and getting out, you know, becoming alcohol free and everything that went with it, when I can be open and vulnerable about those hard times is when I'm able to then make someone else not feel alone. And so it ends up being like power made perfect in weakness, right? Like his power, like it's in those times that are the most difficult that when we do overcome them by the grace of God, he gets to use us, like telling this story right now on this podcast, you know, and it's amazing. So if you're in it right now and you're just like, you're in one of those like really hard moments, hard weeks, hard months, whatever, just like know that like, again, going back to what I said earlier, it's not forever. You're going to come through it. You're not alone. And this will be one of the most powerful parts of your story.
Yeah. The pain and purpose, as cliche as that is, like it's so true. And it's why I always say, if you've listened to this podcast, even maybe once, you've probably heard me say this, like I would go through all of being stuck in the drinking cycle and all of that time trying to figure out what to do. All of those years, I would go through all of that all over again if I had 10 times if I had to end up being in this place where life is so much better. It's expansive. It's huge. I feel alive. I love my sunsets. It's so, so different. But it would be really hard. It would have been really hard to believe back in 2019 if I had heard that. So I would have appreciated someone saying that. I would have been like, I don't know about that. So next on my list was, you will forget that you ever were a drinker. I think this is the part that just puzzles me the most. I'm like, I literally forget that. So like being at the ballet and seeing, I'm kind of saying this like half believing and I mean half serious and half not, but like I forget that my life was that drinking world, being at the ballet a couple weekends ago and seeing the moms order the double Proseccos at 11:30 in the morning. On one hand, I have just this like, oh, my heart just hurts because I have this compassion for him. Like, what? I want to be like, what job are you giving alcohol right now that you think it's fulfilling? And is it? Like, is it? Like, and that was me, except for back 5 years ago, they served the wine in the smaller little wine glasses. So you couldn't get a double. It wasn't a thing to get a double. I don't know. Maybe that would have been frowned upon back then. But I can have that experience of like so much compassion because I've been there. And also at the same time, like I'm just not in that world anymore because it has no pull. I have no desire. I haven't in since December 1st, 2019, had a single desire. And it's unbelievable that it once took up so much space and there was such a pull to from it. But I think the coolest part is like, I forget that I ever was a drinker. I've just been a non-drinker for so long. And I just don't drink.
So good. I love that. I totally agree. It is so weird. Like when you're talking about the ballet, I think of like going to the beach, back to the beach club this summer and watching the 11 a.m. like rosés, thinking that that was like the be all end all. Yeah.
Yeah.
And just don't have to do that anymore. And I'm so happy that I don't feel, even one slight iota of wanting to do that, because it didn't do any of the jobs that I was drinking it for, as you said. The next on my list is controversial. No, it's actually not. But I literally, this is what I wrote. Okay, so I'm just going to say it. Nagging Chris to stop drinking will not work. I wish someone had told me that the tears and the fighting and the yelling and anything, throwing all, as they say over here in the UK, throwing all of my toys out of the pram was not going to work, that I was just going to have to let him go on his own journey. And I would have saved myself so much energy.
Mm-hmm.
If I had known that. And it's really, really hard. And it's really, really hard because if you're in it right now and you're trying to lead an alcohol-free life and your husband's still drinking, like, sister, I hear you. DM me. I get it. I have been there. So has me.
Yeah.
Like, fortunately or unfortunately, it's just they've got to do it on, they've got to do it their own way.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that so much. I think that that would have landed with me back 5 years ago. I've been like, okay, because it would also have given me this like permission to move on and do this myself without feeling like it had to be an us thing, or, you know, putting that pressure on, like, well, or just even addressing some of those fears around like, but what if I do this and he, like, and he's not, and all of that that kept me stuck.
Yeah. For sure. I was coaching a gal recently and she was talking about how her husband basically has told her that she's not allowed to drink, and therefore, like, she feels like she's having to like hide it. And for some reason, when it came from another, like, you know, woman to woman from that side of it, I was like, oh my gosh. And because I had so much compassion for her, I was like, oh my gosh, I just wanted to give her a hug, you know? And I was like, oh, but that's literally what I've been doing to Chris. And it landed on a whole different level for me. So,
That's good. I love it. I love it.
What's next for you, boo-boo?
I've got everything feels so much less efforted now.
I would say sunset one more time.
I'm not going to say sunset, Christy. I wasn't going there. Sunsets were not efforted. Okay. But like, I don't know. It's just, and I think it's that like, tolerance for discomfort that I have now, the capacity, the space, the time, all of that that comes as having been freed up from being stuck in that just terrible cycle. Because it's stuck in that cycle. It's not just the drinking. Like, and we always say this all the time too, like, it's not about the drinking.
Yeah.
Not about the alcohol. There's so much more, so much more. But everything felt so efforted before, like the things that I had to do as a mom, and that was part of the problem. Like, everything was, I have to do this. I need to do that. It was like this pressure cooker, and wine was that like easy button thing that I was hitting as like the thing that I thought was making all of that stuff easier, but really was not. And now that stuff is just easier because it's something I get to do. My mindset has changed around it. It's like I'm on the lazy river, you know, at the water park. I'm on the lazy river in my little like inner tube thingy. And I'm just floating along. And sometimes, you know, you're like, oh, I got to grab the side because I've left a kid and the kids, you know, and I got to wait or something and I'm going to grab a foot. And so you have those moments on the lazy river where you're having to like, you know, make some effort to be where you are or whatever, stop where you are. Whereas when I was stuck in the drinking cycle, it's like I was trying to push the opposite of the current, trying to swim back to the start. And yeah, like that's the only, I don't know why. Now I'm sunsets to thinking about being in, can you tell that I'm like really excited about summer and warm weather is coming? I want to be in water. I want to be outside. I want to see sunset.
I am too, babe.
But that's what I liken it to, like stuck in the drinking cycle was me being in the lazy river and trying to swim against the current pushing my inner tube because I had to control everything and I had to like, I don't know, I was just trying to survive and I didn't realize I could just hop on the inner tube and float on down the lazy river and still effort some things, but not quite to the extent of the other. Does that even make sense?
It did. I was wondering if you had used that analogy before or if that was just came to it in like live in real time.
Can you tell I haven't used it before because it's so half-baked?
No, I was wondering no. If you had used it before and I just hadn't heard it. I like
no,
it.
No, that was river vibes. That was live
on air, guys.
Live processing live on live. Air. I know. I'm sorry because it's not totally baked. I'll have to.
Okay, we have to do only a couple more, babe, because we have our community meeting in very soon.
Oh, my
soon.
Gosh. I know.
We do not want to be late for our girls. So this was my struggle for a reason. This is your struggle for a reason. Again, yes, I wouldn't have believed me. I probably wouldn't want to have heard it. But if you are in it, there's a reason for it. There is a reason for it. God's trying to teach you something. God is trying to teach you something, right? Like, what do you need out of that wine glass that you cannot get from him? Like, what do you need? You know, like, what are you trying to numb out that you can't take to him? Like this, he is trying to teach you something. And preach. I think that this is, I will preach. Okay.
Go, girl.
I have just like, I've been coaching this gal for a while and we've just like literally finally just turned everything on its head. And I'm like, we're just going to make this all about Jesus. And it's so fun because I'm like, let's figure out why you are still like paying me to coach you a year on. God's obviously put this on your heart. Like you want to figure this out, but like, what is it that he has placed on your heart? Like, what do you need? And have you like, instead of like, let's put the tactics and all the stuff and all the equipment together for this at the side for 1 second. What do you need out of the glass of wine that you can't get from God? What is it? Mm-hmm. And we can't, and you probably can't do it without his help. You know, new revelations live on air. Like this is a new revelation that I actually cannot do much of the things in my life without him. And so, yeah, the struggle is that you're going through is for a reason.
Yeah, that's so good. And it's so true. And that was something for sure that I didn't have anyone telling me that, by the way, 5 years ago. And also it would have been so hard to see yet. Coming to that and being on this side, it's like I'm reminded of Brittany, who's like, if it looks like the high life, it must be the lie life. Like if it looks like the high life, meaning if you, whatever you're doing, whether it's drinking alcohol, whether it's jumping on, whatever you're doing mindlessly and out of habit, is it serving you? I mean, is it serving you? And like, what is the intention of doing it? Are you drinking with intention? This mom's at the ballet at 11:30 drinking double Prosecco. What are you intending to get out of drinking that double Prosecco at 11:30 in the morning? I'm not judging it. I was there. The thing is, when I was there, I wasn't thinking about what I was intending to get out of it. What I did get out of it was just this need for a nap afterwards and the irritability that would have come afterwards. And all the thing, you know, what is the intention? What is the thing that you are, is alcohol doing what you think you're intending for it to do? Just very simply, because to your point, Christy, like I can promise you it's not. I mean, it's not, because God is the one that is designed to meet all of the needs that we think we have. You're drinking that we think it helps with this or that or whatever. Like where did we believe that God couldn't meet those needs?
Yeah. Yeah. That's so good. Do you have any final ones on your list or should we Tiny Tina it up?
I think we need a Tiny Tina.
I feel like the Tiny Tina might be like the Tiny Tina that has been used many times before. And that is just being open and curious. But I say that because of the amount of times, every single time that I read one of these statements or I heard you say one of your statements, like I really don't know if I would have even been open to entertain the idea.
Yes.
Because I was so 100% sure as the sky is blue, that all of the things that I was worried about with regard to dishing alcohol was going to be true for me, and none of them were. And so just be open, even if you don't have to believe all the things that we said, but like maybe there's one that's hanging over you that you're really worried about, just be open to the possibility that you might be wrong about that thing and that it might be better and that it might be okay and there might be purpose and there might be more space and there might be more time and there might be more sunset. In Jesus' name, amen.
That's right, girl. That's right. I love it. I love it so much. Prove us wrong. Like, yeah, there's your tiny Tina. Prove us wrong. Please prove us wrong.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I've yet to meet anybody on this side that doesn't agree with these things. And just in your disbelief of them, maybe it's like in that questioning, in that curiosity that you begin to see if it's possible. And with that, anything truly, truly is. So, yeah, so good. This is fun. We need to do this more often.
Yeah, I love the list. Tell us what list you want us to do next, you guys. If you're in the community, write it in the community chat. And if you're not in the community, get in the community because we're having way too much fun over there. And if you don't want anything to do with the community, DM us or email us because we'll still love you.
Yes.
Yes.
Because we're in community with you. We just don't get to see your beautiful face.
All right, my friends. See you next Monday. Listen to this. We love you. We're praying for you. We appreciate you. And we will see you soon.
Bye.
Hey, friend, we have a really fun raffle for you for April, May, and June. If you leave us a review on either Apple or Spotify, take a quick screenshot of it and email it over to us at hello@butjesusdrinkwine.com. We will enter you into the draw to win 3 free months in our community. And we're really excited about getting this podcast into the ears of women like you. And so thank you for your help. Thank you so much for joining us again this week. You can find all of our episodes at butjesusdrinkwine.com and be sure to follow us over on Instagram, Love Life Sober, and I'm Not Sober, I'm Free.
To learn more about what we do, you can visit our websites, meethollandshirley.com and lovelifesober.com.
Take a screenshot of this podcast and share it with a friend or two.
And don't forget to subscribe to our pod so you don't have to worry about missing a single episode. And if you love what we're doing, please leave us a review on Apple and Spotify.
This helps more women who are feeling stuck and alone in the overdrinking cycle find hope and encouragement.
Thanks, ladies. We so appreciate you. And we'll see you next Monday.